God works well in an attitude of gratitude. Because the attitude, as I've heard somebody say, determines our altitude. So since we're all grateful here this morning, that means that we're going to climb into some higher places this morning, maybe than none of us have ever been. Praise you, Lord. Well, I appreciate the Sunday school. I told Marge I wanted to come to Sunday school this morning because I knew I was going to get confirmations of what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And whenever I come up here, I always got so many things, but I'm going to Wings, rhymes with things. Paul says, don't you know all things are yours, Wings? Man, if we just took that scripture this week and meditated on it and didn't read anything else, but just meditated on, don't you know all things are yours? Because how many things are we concerned with? If it isn't the political arena, then it's the economic arena. If it isn't the stock market, what is it? We'll find something to be concerned about. The mind will always find something to be concerned about. But I don't think that's what the Lord means when he says, all things are yours. I think he's talking about the things of the kingdom, righteousness. You're in right standing with me, peace and joy. I had no idea I was going to be talking about these things this morning. You know, the word, the scripture says, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. I'm going to say a short prayer. Just, Lord, just check me up here. Sometimes I just get in the flow and I just can't just go. You know, the rivers of living water, they just flow right out of your innermost being. Father, we know you're here. Everybody, my prayer is that everybody will sense your presence, Lord. That there'll be something that you will say. And there's been things you've already said that have resonated with people's spirits, that have changed hearts, that have been confirmations for what you've already spoken to an individual's heart. And I just pray, Lord, that this morning the church will get a lot of confirming words about what they've been hearing. And sometimes we hear it in our spirit a lot of times, and the guy up here in the head just needs to hear it too. And because I've listened to some brothers here over the last year and some sisters, and some of the things they've said, I go, oh yeah, yeah, I get that. I didn't have it in my head, but God had already spoken it to my heart, and it was in my heart. Sometimes we just need a confirming word from someone. Doesn't necessarily have to be a preacher, an apostle, an evangelist. It'd be through a coworker, you know? Could be through any human source, God, you can speak through. I'm reminded of even a donkey in the Old Testament. Christ, you're in all things, you fill all things, you're everywhere, you're the light of the world. Even as we open our eyes and look at this light, you're the light. If you were to disappear, there would be no light in this building. There would be no light on this planet. You're the light of the world. It has a lot of different meanings, the light of the world, but the simple explanation is you're the light. Everywhere we look, we see light, the sun. That's you, Lord. You're the light. So, Father, I just pray that by your mercy and your grace, which is abundant, which is new and fresh all the time, all you're looking for is a heart that's looking for you. That's all you're looking for. The Word says you go seeking to and fro in the earth to seek a man or a woman whose heart is to you. And you've always found them. In the Old Testament, if it wasn't an Abraham or a David or an Ezekiel or whatever, but now, the whole planet, the whole earth is filled with your glory. Christ is in every man from Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day we're heading into here, Lord. What a day. Could it be any greater than when Jesus first walked the earth? Yes. Because, Lord, you said that we will do even greater things. Wow. Even greater things than you, Lord? Yeah, because there was one Jesus, but there's going to be millions of Jesuses that are going to be raised up, that are going to be mature sons and daughters. And they're going to bring about enormous change in the earth. And the change is happening now. It's happening now. And that's the word that you keep stressing to me, Lord. Make sure the church understands that it's now. Because hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I think a lot of people in the church are sick. They need healing. Because we keep deferring everything off into the future. We even keep, hate to say it, but even keep healings deferred. Well, if it's God's will, oops. God says, it's now, saints. Believe into it now. Out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, I will confirm my word. And so I brought a second witness here. His name is Kelly Varner. Now, I know when you hear the name of Kelly Varner, the ears should perk up. He was a brilliant teacher of the word. We had the privilege, really, of having him down here one time, but he was a brilliant, really a brilliant prophet of the Lord. And there's a book here that I would recommend you all getting. It's been gathering dust on my shelf for a few years. It's called The Priesthood is Changing. And just a couple of excerpts from this book and then some other things I want to get into. Kelly writes, the priesthood is changing. God's people are moving from the future to the present. From duality to simplicity. From two or three wills to one will. From the voices of many to the voice of one. Now we find them moving from mountain to mountain. They're moving from Zion, the mountain of the law, or they're moving from Sinai, excuse me, to Zion. The priesthood from the throne of grace is accessible and transparent and secure. I thought that was a good word there. And then there's just a couple other little, page 9, he had something on here. These are crucial days. Men everywhere are fainting. Pastors are calling weekly from across the nation asking, what is happening? What's going on? The answer is obvious. The day of the Lord is dawning. And the Lord is revealing the hearts of men. The lid is coming off everything in this day of the Lord. Praise God. And then, I say two, mouth of two or more. This is the second witness here. And I'll share what I had to share. Let's see. Serious times are here. God is bothering all of us. He's so unpredictable now. He's not acting at all like he's supposed to. We're under pressure from God, not the devil. We've quoted the word, we've bound and we've loosed, and we've loosed and we've bound. And you know what I mean. Mark it down. Settle it now. From here on, none of us are going to sail into waters of our own choosing. The wind of the Holy Ghost has caught our ship and changing the course of the priesthood. Good word. It's a now word. It's a now word. There's a little bit to cover here. Sometimes I get off. And I don't know, I might do that, but There's some things here I want to cover for sure, because Rich covered them in Sunday school, so I know that it was a confirmation to me. You were talking, well, let me read a poem here. Lo, the winter is past. Wisdom is the thing that you want to get, for in it there is no regret. Wisdom is the thing that you want to have, for it will distinguish between the good and the bad. Wisdom is what you want to know, for it will keep you from the seasons of the frost and the snow. Wisdom is the thing that you must see, for it will bring you forth into the image and the likeness of me. For wisdom is calling you forth in this my new day, to lift you up higher, to see the more perfect way. So stay the course, my precious ones, that you can awake in the Almighty One. Amen? For wisdom is calling you forth in this new day, to lift you up higher, to see the more perfect way. How many of us have heard the voice of the Lord saying, come up here, come up here? Another word that the Lord gave me was, I am looking for a people who will listen in this hour. Now, you got to do a sila there. Just stop and listen. I am looking for a people who will listen in this hour. I am looking for a people who will glisten in this hour. I thought, gee, that word glisten must have come from me. Actually, I found it in the Bible, where God was talking about the glisten, you know, the glistening of his glory coming through a people. So I'm looking for a people who will listen in this hour. I'm looking for a people who will glisten in this hour. For only I know the way through the valley of death. He doesn't want us to die. God doesn't want us to die. He wants us to die to self. But he wants to preserve our physical body. We're in that hour now too. Let's put it this way. Somebody has got to sow the seeds, and there's been many that have sown the seeds, even Brother Oscar. But there's got to be a people that believes into it. We are the people that God is calling to believe in the greater promises of God in this hour. If we don't, who will? If we don't, who will? Wings, I don't think we realize the responsibility that we have. I know that we're small. I know that we're few. But you're a priesthood. You're kings and priests. He's calling you up. He's calling you up like Oscar's prophetic word a year ago. I'm calling you up to a place you've not known, where the secrets of my will soon be shown. God is opening his secrets to us. Can't take this lightly. For only I know the way through the valley of death. He does not want us to die. He does not want us to be sick. He does not want cancer. He does not want that in his body. When Jesus was commissioned, the first thing the Father said to him was, go heal the sick. First thing he said to him, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and we shall do even greater things. Just quoting scripture. For only I know the way through the valley of death, and I can lead you into my perfect rest. Isn't that what we're all looking for? Isn't that what the world's looking for in this hour? Even all of us are looking for that. And only I know the way to the promised land, to bring you into the fullness of my plan. And that's what we all want. Wings is a church that consists of people that want the fullness of God. We're not settling just for a little plate of salvation, although praise God, that's wonderful too. And there's a wonderful place in heaven for the ones that settle for the plate of salvation. 30-fold, nothing wrong with it, praise God. It's a wonderful place in the heavenlies waiting for them. But he said, I want to bring you into the fullness of my plan. That means 60, and then taking that 61st step into the 100-fold court. We've worked through the 30, We've worked through the 60. We've been through the trials, the tribulations, and all that stuff, trying to figure out what God's doing in our life and how God works, how He thinks, and blow on, so forth. But now we're entering into the most holy place where there's only one God, one voice, no devil, no sickness or disease, nothing but pure life. Now, our bodies may say something different. Sounds like a bunch of hogwash to me as I stand here with swelling knees. Know what I'm saying? But I'm still going to believe the promises of God, like Joey was saying. God wants the people to believe the promises of God. So take my hand, he says, and follow me, and keep on eating from the promise tree. And as you do, there is a doing in this thing. I know the grace message is wonderful, and it is, and I've learned a lot from Brother Howells and all these brothers that have a special burden to bring that grace message forth in this hour. But there's still something we have to do. I think sometimes some of the grace brothers and sisters have gotten a little off track thinking, well, praise God, you know, now that we're going to have self-driving cars and everything coming down the road here in the next couple of years. Actually, they've got self-driving cars in Phoenix right now, cabs and what have you. We're just thinking we're just going to jump in the Jesus Uber car and he's just going to take us wherever we want to go, you know. So there is something that we have to do. Keep on eating from the promise tree, and as you do, you will see this life abundant and its reality. Amen. Okay, so we're going to get into some of the poems here a little bit. Do you hear the midnight cry? Has he opened up your eye? Not your eyes, your eye. Single eye unto the Lord. Have you set your heart on him so he can come and sup within? He has said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking about the ones that are lost. He's talking about the doors. And he's knocking. Where are the doors? And he's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm here now to encourage you to check the clock. For can't you discern that this is the midnight hour? A time to focus on the Lord to receive my power? A power to lift you up on high? A power to open up your eye? To a place of peace and rest? A place to receive the Father's best. So stay the course, my precious ones, so at my coming you can be found in the glorious one, to be seated at my side and forever to abide. This is the hour for my visitation. So open wide your heart with no hesitation. For I desire to sit down and be seated in your life. Then you will become my cutting knife to cut away the flesh of the heart, that it will bring about for my people a brand new start. You know, there was two circumcisions. Even in the Old Testament, I think, Oscar, after they went into the Promised Land, there was a circumcision then, wasn't there? It's like the Lord is saying, you're coming over into the Promised Land, and now you're going to enter into the second circumcision. And it's going to be my word that's sharper than a two-edged sword. I want to cut away the flesh of the heart, that it will bring about for you and my people a brand new start and a brand new heart, so they can see my new day. God keeps stressing this new day in all the prophetic poems that God has given me. It's the new day. We're here, the midnight hour. Get moving. It's now. Get up. Get moving. It's now. I don't think we're going to grow unless we serve. I think we can fill our minds all day long with tremendous information, but with no illumination. I think it becomes illumination. I think it becomes revelation. And then it becomes manifestation, but only as we serve. If we don't serve, then we're in a message. And we're not in Him. Selah. Paul didn't say, I want to know the message. No, he said, I want to know him. 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 And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He didn't say, I want to know the message. He knew who the message was. It was him. And this is what I really believe God is doing this hour. He's trying to take our focus, get it off of the world and everything else. I realize we're in the world. We have to pay bills. We have to work, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But I really believe that we're entering into a time. It's going to be very challenging. Let's just put it that way. I think we can kind of sense that as we look around the scene and you listen to the news. You see people that have lost their jobs and the COVID virus. We see men making trillions of dollars while other people are just falling off the edge of the cliff, getting evicted, can't pay their bills, can't provide for their family. And we see this exponential technology that's coming and just wiping out the middle class and the poor man. I'm not going to get off on a tangent here, but they claim that in the next 5 years, there will not be a semi-truck on the road that'll have a man in it driving it. It'll be self-driving, just like the cars. What's going to happen to all these precious truck drivers? Many of them don't have much of an education. Some of them do, but many of them don't have a great education, and they make a good living. Where are they going to be 5, 6, 7 years from now? When there's no need for them. Where are we going to be when the technology, when robots come into the warehouse and move you out? Where are we going to be? This is coming. And I think one of the reasons why it's coming is because God is going to bring his people to the place where he's going to be our only source. He's going to be the source. I mean, there's a silver lining about this whole thing. I mean, in the end, we win, okay? God wins. I don't care how big the storm is. It's like the poem the Lord gave me. Jesus said, I am the eye of the storm. We know that in the eye of a storm is tremendously peaceful. Even though everything, calm, everything around them is just in terrible condition. Honestly, I believe that in the next few years, I believe that's the way it's going to get. I realize that, you know, I'm glad I'm not a paid minister, because I'd probably be off the salary with the message when you start bringing a message like that. People don't want to hear that, especially American people. We are spoiled. We are spoiled. It's hard to give up all the goodies. Yea, I call you this day that you can see my marvelous grace. For I have seen you running the race, and I have seen you seeking my face. For understand in this new day, there will be no more disgrace. I think of in the Old Testament where God said he heard the cries of his people, and he said, I'm going to come down. And boy, did he bring about a great deliverance. And I believe that we are on the throes of that happening right now. Now, I believe God is saying, in a manner of speaking, I hear the groaning. I hear it. I hear the groaning. And I have come down. But now I got to raise you up to where I'm at. You're going to have to feel my groaning heart to come out of the complacentness that my church is in this hour. They got to perceive this thing through the Father's eyes. Not from where they're at spiritually right now. For understand in this new day that there will be no more disgrace. So keep on pressing, my dear sons and daughters, and straightway you will know there is one who has won the race, and you now stand in his marvelous grace. Now, to me, that was a major revelation. When you're in him, when you're one with him, you won the race. He's the only one really that won the race. I mean, I know Paul talked about the race and so on and so forth, and I believe that there's a race to run. But it's comforting to know that being in Christ, the Father says, you're in the one that won. So out of gratitude toward the one that ran the race for us, we need to stay in the race. Knowing that, we should want to run the race more than if we're running out of fear. Oh, well, bless God, I hope I win the race, you know. No, that's not what it's all about. The Lord's saying, you've won the race. I want you to have an attitude of gratitude. You should want to work harder. You should want to serve more diligently. Because you've already won the prize. It's already been given to you. All the more His truth we seek, the greater rest we'll find. You want to rest? You want to enter into His rest? All the more His truth we seek, the greater rest we'll find. For His truth will root out those things that have captivated our mind. And as we free our mind to see the wonder of His ways, we will walk out into His light and we will see the brighter day. For you see, it's not God's will for you to walk in the days gone by. It's not for us to walk in the day gone by. There is a day that is gone by. The second day has gone by. We're in the third day right now. God's saying, come out of that holy place and come into the most holy place. Come out of that second day. Come into the third day. Come into the new day. For you see, it's not God's will for you to walk in the day gone by. For He is calling you into a new day that shines as the noonday sky. So look up, my friend, and seek my face so you can rest in the greater place, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of love forevermore, where we are seated at His side, a place forever to abide. All the answers are right here in the poems. You know what I'm saying, Brother Oscar? I am the Word of God. I'm churning up your earthly sod. I'm planting in new seeds of life for you to avoid the ways of strife, bitter conflicts, discord, lack of harmony, religious confusion. I want you to avoid all that. If you will hold fast to the head, He will lead you through the dread, through anxiety, fear, worry, apprehension. So take my yoke upon thee, and here is the key. Take my yoke upon thee and learn from me. And learn from me. So take my yoke upon thee and learn from me, for it is easy and my burden is light, and it will dispel all the confusion of the night. Why does the burden feel so heavy all the time? Why is everybody laying heavy burdens on us all the time? In the world, there's nothing but negative, negative, negative. I'll end with this poem, and I got to cover this right here. Praise God for this new day. How wonderful it is to see the shadows flee away. God has opened a new door for those who would see, and He's taken off the blinders to come up and be in His image and likeness, so that others might see the glorious new creation that He's called us to be. So please, my precious ones, respond unto me so I can put you on display for all the world to see. For truly you have entered into the day of the revelation of me. That is powerful. That is powerful. One thing that the Lord has been impressing upon me too is John chapter 17, out of the Passion Translation. Brother Rich hit on it real good this morning. I was worried he was going to get to John 17 and blow my whole message. But in the Passion Bible, and this is, you know, I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying, okay? John 17, the Passion Bible says, this is what Jesus prayed as He looked up to heaven. Now, first off, Jesus prayed this. Selah, as he looked up to heaven. How come we always look down when we... Well, anyway, Jesus always looked up when he prayed, okay? There's a joke about that. I can't remember what it was. Some little kid was always watching his mom and everybody in church like this, and he was wondering, gee, you know, Jesus is so great, full of joy. Why are you guys always, you know? But anyway, this is what Jesus prays as he looked up to heaven. Father, the time is come. He's praying this 2,000 years ago. The time has come. Actually, he did away with time 2,000 years ago. If we were walking in the realm of the Spirit, there is no time and there is no space where God is calling us to right now. There is no time. And ladies, your body will not age when you walk in the Spirit. Many times I've gone back in my room at nighttime thinking I was back there for 15, 20 minutes with the Lord, just back there just saying, Lord, I want to know you. And I'd look down the clock, it'd be 2 hours had passed. I'd go, God, Lord, I thought I was only back here 15 minutes. He says, you were, but the other time you were up in heaven. And you weren't responsible to time or space. You were with me. And this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up to heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. Now, you know, you can take the Word of God and you can take it for Jesus. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. Or you can move it down to our day because we are the sons of God. And Jesus is praying, unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. I don't even know if he was praying about himself at that point. I think he was seeing us. So it will magnify your glory. Well, how else is God's glory going to be magnified? By all these other brothers and sisters, these sons and daughters running all throughout the earth, magnifying the Lord. For you have already given me authority over all the people, so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given me. Here's the words I want you to see. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. Do you realize that in John chapter 17, 6 times Jesus prays, I want them to experience. I think the church has lost the revelation of experiencing Jesus Christ and experiencing who they are in Christ. Because the messages that's being preached in this hour, we're always putting Jesus off into heaven. You can't walk in the Spirit until you die. Might get a little snippet of the Spirit here and there, okay? You might have a born-again experience, but after that, like my priest told me, when I went to him and asked him about this experience that I had at the hotel up in Dayton, Ohio, when I got born again, I was telling him that I'd changed, you know. And he said, well, the only thing I want to caution you about is if the Lord never graces you with another experience like that, then don't get mad at God. That was my counsel. So I left thinking, well, I'll probably never have another experience like that. And if I don't, Lord, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to get mad at you. Because that was the counsel that I got from my mentor at that time. So anyway, verse 3, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ. Then it goes down, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Then it says, and the very words that you have given me, I have passed on to them, and they have received your words and they carry them in your heart. I got a little silly there. I don't carry it in my King James Bible. I carry it in my heart. I love the Bible, read scriptures daily. But Jesus said, they've received your word and they carry them in your heart. There's a lot of people today that carry this and they think that's it. That's it. That ain't it. Now you can get a lot of it from that, okay? I'm certainly not downplaying the scriptures. I certainly am not. Because every poem that the Lord has ever given me, I can go right to the scriptures and show you exactly what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in those evening hours, and I can back them all up by Scripture. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about in the future taking some of these poems and putting all the Scriptures to them, and then preaching or sharing messages off of these Psalms and backing them up with the Scriptures. Then he goes on, and it says, "They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you have sent me." Wow. Then it goes down to verse 13. "But now I'm returning to you, Father, and I pray that they will experience and enter into my joy and my delight in you." And then we go down to scripture number 22. And it says, "The very glory you have given me, I have given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy." We are to be experiencing, you and I, brothers and sisters, we are to be experiencing the same unity, the same harmony, the same joy that the Son has with the Father. That should be in our midst. When we come together, that should be in our midst. And then verse 23, he says, "You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity." There's that word experience again. Then we go down to the end of the chapter in verse 26. "I have revealed to them who you are, Father, and I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them." Six times Jesus prayed that prayer. Jesus prayed that prayer. Did Jesus ever pray a prayer that was not the will of the Father? Never. "I only say what I hear my Father say." And in John chapter 17, Jesus said, "You are to experience this." Now, if we want to put it off to the future, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I don't expect everybody's going to get up and walk through the walls on this sermon, because I'm implying basically that we should be able to walk through the walls. I know there's a bit of a process to this whole thing, but the important thing right now in this hour, with the word that's coming forth, not only what I'm ministering here from this pulpit, but there are brothers and sisters all throughout this world right now that are bringing forth this New Day message. So, God is saying we are now in a time to experience the glory of God. Expect the glory. The Father is saying, expect the glory. When you come to church, expect the glory. Expect a healing. Expect to be healed of mental problems. Expect it. It's your inheritance. He gave me a poem on the treasure, on the inheritance. That's part of our inheritance, the Lord said. And I'll end it. How long have I been? Okay. I'll end it with this poem right here. Preachers lie a lot, don't they, Oscar? I'm ending. This is my fourth ending. You know. "Love expressed in all its glory is the Christ redemption story. Love has been a mystery before all time. Its only desire is to make all things rhyme. If you want to see love's glory, then take a deep look at the redemption story. For in its words of truth and grace, you will see the wonders of the Savior's face. And as you do, you will come to know there's nothing that compares down here below. So keep on seeking His glory from above, and He will surely fill you with His abundant love. Then all nations here below will see His face, and He will truly transform them by His amazing grace." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your visitation here this morning in Sunday school and through the music, through the word. We thank you, Father. Father, you said that your word will not come back void. I believe it. I fully believe that every word you spoke, not necessarily Jim Wilson, but every word you spoke, Father, it will not come back void. And we're going to expect great fruit to come as a result of not only the word that was spoken here this morning, but the words that have been spoken over the years from this pulpit, Father. It's time for the harvest. It's time for all the seeds that Brother Oscar and all the other brothers and sisters have sown in this fellowship. It's time, Father. It's harvest time. For your glory, O God, for your glory. So, Father, we're going to expect the glory. We're going to expect the glory. Every morning when we get up, I'm going to say, Father, I expect the glory. That's your presence. And the stronger your presence gets, the greater the glory becomes. And the greater the glory, the greater the power. The greater the power, the greater the healings. The greater the finances. The greater everything. Everything becomes great because He is the source of our money. He's the source of our healing. He's the source of our well-being. He's the source of the relationships that we have with people. There's only one source, Father. Let us get that revelation. And like we said this morning in closing, wings rhymes with things. And Jesus said, wings, I've given you all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Oscar, you want to? Okay, well, you all go eat.